Second and third John, almost I want to say the letter of first John. Maybe it's more like a postcard. Do you ever get a postcard? You know what those are, right? Do people still send postcards? You know what they are, right? They're little cardboard, little tiny things. This is kind of like a postcard that John sent. Yeah, just a little tiny note at the end. So we're going to go over, we went through three verses, and then I'm just going to zippity-doo-dah forwards because we're going to finish this one today, this little postcard of 2 John. And so we're going to go in the back of your Bible towards Revelation. And I am also just want to say I'm thankful for our country, the freedoms that we have. And I know this is a kind of a weird time in our country where people are, it's almost, don't even get me started. I just won't even say it. It's a weird time. And I'm very thankful for the freedoms that God's given me, freedom of speech, freedom of religion to some extent, to what we have here that most people don't. And so I'm very grateful for our country. So, all right. And let's start off in 2 John, verse 1 through 3, which we covered last time, and I'll just read it. It says, the elder, and you remember the presbyteros, this is the Apostle John, the last living disciple at that time, or apostle, and the elder, presbyteros, it means the minister, the shepherd, the loving pastor. And it says he's writing to the chosen lady and her children. That chosen lady could be, we're not sure, that could be the church, and her spiritual kids, or it could be a specific chosen lady and her physical kids or her spiritual kids. Maybe there's a church that meets at her house. They're not sure. It says, whom I love in the truth. But it says she's the chosen lady, eklektos. And we talked about how just like God has chosen her, he's chosen each one of us. We're a holy people, set apart. We're not to look like the world and to sound like the world and to we are a chosen people, holy, sanctified, set apart for his purposes. It says, and not only I, but also who know the truth. Verse 2 says, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. And then it says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about the difference between justice, getting what we deserve, and God's mercy, not getting what we deserve, and God's grace, getting what we don't deserve from God the Father, and his peace. When we get saved, we have peace with God. We were once enemies, alienated by our evil behavior, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, we've received him in our heart and life. He comes to live inside us, but the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us, and we can live a new life. And we get that peace with God, and then peace that transcends all understanding from God that we get. And it says that, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. And we talked about truth and love. And so that's, my friends, is where we left off. And so I'm just going to scroll forward real quick from all of our stuff from last week. And you can watch that online at Home Fellowship Church at our YouTube channel. Give me just a second. Where were you? Oh, that's such a good slide. All right. I think that's where we left off right about. Okay, we're going to leave here. All right, so we're living in a time, and again, where truth is just—I don't know. I don't know if you're seeing it too. You know, who do you believe anymore? Yeah, and maybe it's just me, but okay, this guy's saying this. This guy's saying this. Sometimes it's the same guy. I don't want to pick on a person, but if you listen to Fauci, one minute he's saying this, the next minute he's saying something completely different. Which way is up? Which way? This political party says this one thing. This political party says just the opposite thing, right? I don't know if it's me, but you don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, what's wrong, what's truth, what's lies, what's conspiracy theories, what's the truth. Oh my goodness, my mind's going to blow. But can I tell you one thing that never changes? It's the Word of God. See, the Word of God. That's right. Yeah, right. Hit it, George. And see, the truth of the Word of God never dies. See, when you put that and hide God's Word in your heart, it will never pass away. God says. That's so great. So anytime you invest in anything that has to do with Jesus, his heart, his word, his Holy Spirit, that's going to go on for eternity. That will never pass. I almost said pass, like Lester would say it. But that will never pass away. Listen, people have tried to kill the truth. This is nothing new, kids. This is nothing new, okay? I'm going to read you something. This is some of you may be familiar with a guy by the name of Voltaire. He was history kind of tells us that he was a renowned atheist, writer, historian, philosopher. Even I would say I think he even did plays. But he was in the 1700s, and he was one of the most aggressive antagonists against Christians and the truth. And during his life, he wrote more than 20,000 published letters and some 2,000 books, booklets and books, and was a successful playwright. Very rich, very influential, and he wrote, influenced, and produced many things to undermine the church and the truth, okay? This was like his main thing. In 1767, a letter to Frederick the Great, King of Prussia, he wrote... this is what he wrote about truth. He said, Christianity is the most ridiculous, the most absurd, and the most bloody religion that will ever infect the world. My only regret in dying is that I cannot aid you in the noble enterprise of exterminating the world of this infamous superstition. Voltaire ended every letter to friends. I think it's E. Crises L'Infame, which means crush the loathsome thing, which means the truth of Christ and Christianity. He once said of Jesus Christ, curse the wretch. He said, in 100 years, the truth of Christianity will be no more. My single hand will destroy the edifice it took the 12 apostles to rear. Well, obviously, Voltaire was wrong. And it's even said, and I've researched this, that 100 years later, after Voltaire was long since dead, to stamp out the truth, the Geneva Bible Society actually used one of his homes in Europe and his printing stuff that he used to print all this anti-Christian literature, right? Anti-truth literature in Europe to print and distribute the truth of the Bible and the truth of Christian tracts out of it. So the same equipment, I thought this was great. Isn't that awesome? The very same equipment that printed material raging against the truth of God, the truth of his word, and the truth of Jesus Christ, okay? Oddly enough, or godly enough, okay, was used for just the opposite. Voltaire was wrong. And listen to this when he was talking. This is on his deathbed. A nurse that attended him was reported to have said, and here he was trying to kill truth his whole life, for all the wealth in Europe, I would not see another atheist die. I've had a friend who's worked with hospice for many, many years, and that's one of the things that she said, that there is such a difference between those who are Christian when they pass and those who are not. One brings just so much. It's heartbreaking for both, but one brings so much trauma. She's like, it's beyond words. And one actually, even though it's terrible, it brings a lot of peace. And listen to this. Because of his approaching death and a vision of hell that God, who he didn't believe in, gave him, the physician waiting up with Voltaire at his death said that he cried out in utter desperation, I am abandoned by God. Now remember, he doesn't believe in God. And man, he said, I will give you half of what I'm worth. And he had mansions everywhere. I'm half of what I'm worth if you'll give me just 6 more months of life. And then he got angry and said, then I shall go to hell and you'll go with me. Oh, Christ, Jesus Christ. And he ended up calling out to Jesus. And so when I hear things like that, you know, I think to myself, you know, you can do what you want to try to kill truth, but that's the thing that's going to last. And it happened, even think all the way back to Pontius Pilate. Okay, the Jews handed Jesus over, right? The whole embodiment of truth. He not just speaks truth, but he is the truth. And they gave him up, and he had a face like this guy when he was talking to Pilate. And Pilate said, "So, you're a king?" And Jesus responded, "Yes, you say I'm a king. You're right." And then he said, "God bless you, in Jesus' name." Then he said, "Jesus," he said, "actually, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. And all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." This is in John 18, 37, 38. And then Pontius Pilate said something that I think it was just like this face. He's been so hardened by the world and the deceit of the world. And Pilate was a little political, you know, guy. He said to Jesus after this, he said, "What is truth?" Right? Is it really matter? Is there really any truth? And here's the thing that God is here to tell you. Absolutely. Yes, our whole faith, our whole life, everything is built on the truth, on that foundation of truth, on the word of God. Listen, this is in 1 Timothy 3:15. And he says this, is the Apostle Paul. He said, "If I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of." You know what a lot of churches are, unfortunately? And they do a lot of good. A lot of churches do a lot of good. So I'm not here to talk meanly or they're all heretics or something like that. But many churches now focus on everything else. Listen, we want our worship to get better, okay? Absolutely, we do. Everybody here, if I say, "Hey, do you want our worship to be better? We've grown closer to the Lord," everybody would raise their hand. If I said, "Hey, we'd like better stuff or better buildings or coffee bars," we would like to do more social things or have more fun time, everybody would raise their hand. I get all that, okay? I want that too. I'm right with you. Capiche? However, the church isn't supposed to be the pillar and foundation of a band or of social programs or of anything else. The main thing is it's supposed to be the pillar and the foundation of truth. That is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, that's what we're supposed to be about, number one. And all the rest of it is not bad stuff. It's good stuff. But it comes after this. Now, the Word of God is like the last things that our people are interested in. In fact, they don't even know what's right and what's not. I think I told you this story. I when you talk a lot, sometimes you forget. But even recently, we had a wonderful lunch with a person. He was a graduate of Bible college, a wonderful young person, and 4 years leadership program, top of his class. And we were having lunch, and it was done innocently. And he was just like, "So why do you guys teach the Bible?" Now, you say wow, but what he honestly, and he didn't even know what I was like, "Well, because the Bible says," I had to explain it to him from like, this is after 4 years graduating a Bible for ministry, top of his class in the leadership program. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, have we come this far? I have another wonderful friend, love this guy, and he loves the Lord. And I taught before at his church, and he's a great guy. He really loves Jesus. And I said, "Well, how long do you teach?" You know, I usually, you know, cause, you know, me usually teach an hour. You know, how long you want me to teach? Because some people aren't used to that. Maybe I'm thinking 45 minutes. He's like, "Well, you mean from the Bible?" I was like, "Yeah, about 15 minutes. Now, they might, I'm going to tell you, they do other stuff fantastically. But this is the main thing. If we don't get this right, everything else is going to crumble. You won't really have a walk with the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? So when it says in verse 4, look at with me. It says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." Do you see that in verse 4 of 2 John? The truth is the Word of God. Everything else, your family, can I just be blunt, honest with you? Needs to be built on the Word of God. It should be coming out naturally. We did a baby dedication. God wants to get you to the point in your life, in my life, where the Word of God just comes out. It's just natural. We speak about it when we go to the movies. Hey, if there's we have a big fight, we talk about it later on. We got to get through it the Word of God, the right way. How do we handle things? We got to deal with all these things. And we have to do it all biblically. It just comes out naturally. We bring it all back to the Word because it's, in fact, Jesus even said about truth, not only is it we're supposed to be the pillar and foundation of truth, it says Jesus himself said, sanctify them, make them holy through the truth. Thy word is? That's right. It's the truth. Every time you ingest it and you make it a part of your life, your body, it changes how you think. Listen, it does. You're getting influenced, okay? I don't know if I should share this story, but I'm going to. And then I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, there's a show that we watched, I love the show. Okay, but there's one, it's rated whatever, PG-13 and PG-14, something like that. But it almost seems like even that's like, PG-13 now is like weird to me. Anyway, so it's called Cobra Kai, and it was on Netflix. And it's really good, but some their language that they use, I can't stand it in the show. I just can't stand it. And so we're watching the show again. This is, and man, I'll tell you what, I won't even say what was said, but one of my young men, just after watching it, some episodes of this cool karate, it's the same off of what was the Karate Kid, if you remember that. It's like a spinoff of the movie, right? And then one of my kids says, "Oh man!" And he used one of the words that they were using in Cobra Kai, and we were just like, everybody stopped, and it was like, what? Is that bad? Yes. Okay. And so, okay. Oh, my goodness. So we're influenced, okay, whether you realize it or not, by the character, what you watch, what you see, either in a good way or a bad way. That's why we need to be in God's Word every day. Listen, can I just say, you could be the strongest Christian in the world. I'm telling you that you need to be walking with the Lord, ingesting this every day. Listen, you've walked with the Lord a while, haven't you? Right? I know you. And after a while, you think, oh, I heard it all. I know it all. Blah, blah, blah. Can I tell you what? Now more than ever, you need to remind yourself every day. And if you haven't been there, I get it. You need to reorient your schedule, your time, whatever. Oh, Stanley, you don't need it anymore. You've been in church so long. Yeah, you do. Daryl, Brett, you get what I'm saying, right? Darren, right? This is not Joe. We need it every day, especially because a lot of the Christian culture is going the wrong way. And it's becoming acceptable, and people don't even know it. They're just going along with the flow. It says in God's word, which is the truth. You guys already know this. But in Matthew, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. It says in John 14:6 that Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It says of the Holy Spirit, everything that is of God is of the truth. And it's the opposite of the world. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He said, and when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So, and then it says, and Lisa, I don't know if you feel, is it okay? Just come up here for a second and feel pressure. I'm gonna ask you, but it's okay. You'll do fine even if you don't know what you're going to say. So just pray. Take a second and pray while I stall for your second. The Bible says too, it says in this, in John, he says the Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all truth. So as you're reading, every time you read, you pray, Lord, will you speak to me? Will you show me your truth? Ask him that every single time. Pray continually, over and over. Every time you sit down, you ask him, Lord, will you show me your truth? Will you make it real to my heart? Will you make it fresh? Will you make it apply? I've been reading the Word of God for so long, and can I tell you, he still shows me new stuff all the time. It says too, John 14:26, it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. How is he going to remind you of what was said to you if you're not sitting with him, hearing what he has to say? Does that make sense? Lisa, did you say something about, I don't even know. Go ahead. Just go.
Well, when we were reading through 2 John the other day together and 3 John, the scripture came to mind for both of us, you know, and this is one of my other favorite scriptures that the Lord showed to me. And the word that really stuck out to me is the word remind. And like Darren said, you know, if it's not in there, how can he remind you of it, right? You know, if we talk to our kids and we say, remember what I told you? And you never said it, of course, you know, it's not there. You know, one of the things that he's been talking about all morning with, you know, being in the Word and having it in us, truly in us, is so important. And I remember back in high school and college, and it's quite a while ago now, but when we were learning language, everybody in here ever tried to learn a foreign language, if it wasn't since you were young? And one of my girlfriends of mine spoke Korean, you know, and she spoke English and Korean from a very young age. And I was always so fascinated, because I would ask her, okay, so which one are you thinking now? You know, because, you know, back in high school, my high school teacher would tell us that once we have a language so deep in us and we've studied it for so long, we think in that language, you know? And, you know, a lot of us, when we learn a language, we think in English and translate it into whatever we're trying to say. You know, there's an extra step in there, an extra process. And so that I would always be like, what are you thinking in Korean right now? What are you thinking? You know? And so that reminds me of that. If we are in God's Word and we layer God's Word and just be in God's Word, whenever I teach the kids, I'm like, you just learn, guys. And every time you learn more, you're layering things in and you take those concepts and you're able to do more with those concepts. Just keep learning and exploring. And when we're in God's Word, we're layering those foundations. Whether we understand what's going on in Leviticus or Deuteronomy, we're just layering it down so that when we read something else, it will translate that and be a commentary for itself. You know, we're layering it so deep. And so when I think of this reminding us and the Holy Spirit reminding us of what's already in there, I think about learning another language. And if we know God's Word so much that we actually think the language of God in our minds
biblically,
yeah. How awesome is that? We have such a so in tune with him when he's speaking to us more and more. Holy Spirit can remind us of that. So whenever I think of the word remind, I always think, gosh, have I stored it up enough for him to remind me of the stuff? Now I know God is so powerful that he can just like speak it,
yeah.
Even if we've never heard it before. Yeah. But how much more relationship oriented is it that we've spent that time so that we know? Did anybody ever hear their mom's voice in their head? Their dad's voice in their head? It's because it's been in there for a long time. And you know exactly, you know their expressions on their faces. My mom's passed away 10 years ago, but I can just see her expressions sometimes and hear the way she would say certain words. And so, you know, when we were reminded of God's word, is it like that? Is it like that first language to us? Is it that much on our tongue and that much in our minds? And even if you're just starting to get to know God's word right now, I don't care if you're 50, 60, 80, and you're just getting to know God's word, one of my favorite Chinese proverbs is, okay, it goes like this. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. So as you look at God's word, dive in, find every opportunity, play it in your house, listen to teachings, layer it down as much as you can. So you're like, God, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit can go and remind you of something you read that morning or just the other week or something that somebody said to you. So,
yeah. Amen. Amen. Anyways. And you know what? Listen, here's the thing. You also got to be careful who you're listening to. Listen, you'd be surprised, and most, they don't know yet because they haven't got enough of the word in them to know, hey, this one goes a little off here. This one goes way off here, you know? And so if you don't know who to start listening to, it really does make a difference. We'll send you some, you could click any book of the Bible you want to listen to from a good teacher. I'll give you a couple good teachers, or if you're a reader, I'll give you an application commentary that'll take you through everything. But whatever you want, just say, I want to learn more. I want to learn. Just tell me, and we'll give good teachers. We'll put stuff in your hands for free, and it's our privilege to do that. Don't think, well, I don't want to bother them. We would love to. Nothing makes us happier. You know, just like it says in verse 4, I got my Bible turned upside down somehow. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, let me zip there real quick. I'm sorry. It says that it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in truth. There is nothing that makes me happier knowing that you are encouraged in the Lord and in the truth of the Lord. Nothing makes me happier than that. I will always make time for that. It brings me joy. And it also says, and look in your Bible, in most of your translations, it says some of your children. The word in Greek is ek, and it basically means separated. And It kind of reminds me, and I think I like what Swindoll said it best, that not all of our children, all the time, God's given us free will, and they're not always going to follow the way of the Lord, right? He said, this highlights an important principle of spirituality, nurturing, and discipleship. Both our physical families and our spiritual families will have members who deviate from the teaching of their parents or their mentors or their pastors. I've experienced this firsthand, and I've seen it through countless families throughout my ministry. It breaks our hearts when this happens. Some of you are living it. Some of you have experienced it. It's not fun when you watch your kids veer off from the truth that you know in your heart, not in your head. You know it. And you're like, oh my gosh, I would literally give my left arm. Would you just, but you can't make it happen for them. He says it breaks our hearts when they're happening, but it drives us to prayer and in the hopes that our children will return to the Lord one day. He said, however, when some go astray, we shouldn't lose sight of those who remain on the truth walk. Sometimes I can do that. I'm so focused on the one that's straying that I forget the wonderful people right here that are living the truth every day. Do you know what I'm saying? It says, John didn't dwell on those who had taken a spiritual detour, but on those who had received the commandment to walk in truth. Okay? So, and what does it mean to walk in truth? Okay? There's a scripture that, see, before I even bring up the scripture, we can learn a lot about the truth in our head. You can even become wise in it. You can learn to argue the truth. You can learn to debate the truth. But there's a difference between all those things and walking in it. Day by day, step by step. It's not fancy. Can I just tell you? The truth of the Word of God is something that gets layered over time, over time, over time. It's not the big ice cream sundae of the church. Woohoo! You get the big emotional experience. Dang, that was amazing. And then 6 months later, you're right back where you started. It's not like that. It's a building on the foundation of the Word of God, and it gets bigger and stronger as it gets built. Walking is a day-by-day thing. It can be almost mundane. Do you know what I'm saying? Time to make the donuts. Time to do the devotional. You know, no, okay, Lord, help me to have the right attitude here. But I'm telling you, you will become stronger. That word walk, this is Colossians 1:10. It's the same word. It says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That word walk in Greek is peripateo, and it means to live, to be occupied with it. So when when John's saying, I have such a great joy that some of your children are walking in truth, he's saying that they live in truth, that they're occupied with it. Listen, God doesn't want you to be a Sunday Christian. He doesn't want you to be a Wednesday Christian. He wants you to be a full-time, every time, to be occupied with it. Does that make sense? Every day, all day, right? Capiche? Does that make sense? That's when lives change. The Hebrew, actually, for that, it means to live, to regulate your life, means to walk, to conduct your whole life that way. That's what it means to walk it out, walk out the scriptures. The same word, peripateo, is used in Ephesians 2:10, where it says, "For we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them." And in the Hebrew, this walk of the Lord, it's Psalm 89:15. I love this one. It says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord." Have you learned that? To walk in it. That's where the power comes from. That's where the witness comes from. That's where the fruit gets born. Day after day, step after step, not fancy, walking in the light in the truth of God's word. It's like our goal of life. It's like our goal of the day. Every person you meet, it's an opportunity. I can't make that happen for you. Is it an opportunity for you? When you meet somebody, how can I reflect the Lord? How can I walk in the light of his presence? How can I bear fruit that will last? That's our goal. Every day, every person, every time. Are you going to get it right all the time? No. But let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing. And it's going to bear fruit. Some of our kids play some sports. They played some soccer. And the whole point of the game of soccer was to score a goal, to win the game. And just like that, 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home or in the body or away from it. Listen, I want to tell you something. This James 14 scripture verse, it should be powerful. Do you see the guy there? It's a little bit misty, isn't it? Like a vapor, like a mist, right? Listen, James 4:14 says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog, the mist, a vapor. It's here today a little while, and it's gone tomorrow. You're never going to get through life and think, oh my goodness, I should have put more time in the office. You're never going to say, oh, I should have cleaned the house more. Oh, such regrets. What you're going to regret if you're is saying, why didn't I invest more time with those around me, my physical children, my spiritual children, glorifying the Lord? That's, believe me, if you've not been there, good. But I have, and I'm telling you, that's exactly what you're going to think. Oh my goodness, we're just here for a short time. Let me glorify you. I should have done it 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago, whatever, but I'm going to do it now. Help me every day, Lord, to make this the day that I glorify you, right? So that my children walk in truth. Nothing makes me prouder when I see how far you've come, St. Victor. You know, nothing makes me prouder, Connie, to see you walking day by day, getting the joy of the Lord restored to you. Nothing makes me happier than that. When I see Asdaline, you know, voted, you know, best servant, godly servant in the school. These things make a difference to me. That brings my heart joy, and you too. It goes on to say in verse, I can't even read my eyes. It says verse 5, "And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new commandment, but one that we have heard from the beginning. I ask that we love one another." And I'm not going to talk about that a lot because in 1 John we covered it in detail. So here's just a couple quick scriptures. It says, just simply, love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. As you walk out this life, in other words, every relationship is about not what you can give me, not what you can do for me. It's what I can do for you to glorify the Lord. That's my main heart. Does that make sense? That's what our lives should be about. I want to make it about me. Forget about that. Make it about him. Does that make sense? Okay, listen. He says in John 15:12, to love one another, let that radiate out from you. Radiate out from you. It goes on to say in verse 6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Listen, John 14:23, you know this verse. Those who accept my commands and obey them, they're the ones who really love me. If you want to show love for God, then you know what? Obey his commands. It's as simple as that. Well, I love God. It's just I'm one of those that don't obey. Well, that means you don't love him very much. Listen, the one that says I love him or I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a? And the truth isn't in him. Because that's what's really true. And listen, these commands aren't burdensome. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, we already talked about this. I'm just going to show the scripture. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and they're not burdensome. They're not there to drag you down. They're there to help you, to guard you, to lift you up. It goes on in 2 John 1:7. And yes, I'm speeding through this because we're getting through this day. We're getting through this letter. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's verse 7. First thing I notice about this passage, I got it up here on the screen, is there are going to be many deceivers. Many deceivers have gone out in the world. Listen, that means from Jesus' time all the way, or John's time, all the way to now, they've only increased in intensity and in number. Listen, if you hear names like Kenneth Copeland, if you hear Kenneth Hagin, if you hear names, you just don't, just get rid of them. Health and wealth gospel, God just wants you to be happy. It's all about you. Your bestest life now. Give me what I want. No, it's, you know what? Your best life is yet to come. That's what it's about. It's not about you, it's about him and magnifying him, okay, and glorifying him. That's why you're here, right? There's so many bad teachers out there. So if you want to learn more, I will put good stuff in your heart and hands, stuff that I've went through, listened to a decade or two. I know they're safe, but there are many deceivers now more than ever. I can't even keep up with it. They've gone out into the world. And it says these many deceivers, take it from black and white to color, are going to come, Paul says, when he was in Miletus, and he called for the Ephesian elders to come down, the pastors. And he was pleading with them. He says, I know that after I leave, he was going to Jerusalem. And he says, I know that after I leave, these savage wolves are going to come in among you and will not spare the flock. They're going to come from the outside. They're going to come from the inside. It says he goes on to say in Acts 20:30-31, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. Listen, people, how do I say this? Do you want me to say it? No. Okay. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I've never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. People want you to follow them. Listen, can I tell you something? Only I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. That's it. So you imitate the things that are good and godly about me. Because the real person you follow is not me. It's not Pastor Gary. It's not Home Fellowship Church. It's not Shepherd's Hour Christian School. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And it says that there are many of those deceivers. And here's what they do. They do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. And what that means is the sovereignty of God, the deity of Christ, we call it. You know, that Christ is actually God with us, okay? It says this in 2 Peter. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. People don't even look at the church like they used to, do they? Because people don't walk in the truth. Or they're hearing a gospel that says, even unbelievers really know, oh, this is okay, so the gospel's a way to get stuff for me. Make me rich. My Armani suits, right? So sad. Listen, they'll deny the deity of Christ. look, it says in Matthew 1:23, the virgin with child will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay? There was a time when, in John chapter 10, all right, when Jesus was, he said, I and the Father are one. And they're like, hey, tell us, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Is it really you? And you know what he said? He said, yeah, me and the Father, we're actually one. And it says, the Jewish opponents, they picked up stones when they heard this to stone him. But Jesus said, hey, he said, I've shown you many good works from the Father. So for which one of these are you stoning me? And they answered, we're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you being a mere man claim to be God. They knew what he was doing. When Thomas, right, he was a doubter. He doubted raised from the dead. He said, I'll only believe if I see my finger, I can stick my finger. Remember that? His hands and his side, right? And it says that Jesus appeared before them and said, hey, Thomas, he said, put your finger here in my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Listen, can I tell you, if I may be so bold, just really quickly, you know, so many cults out there, the Unitarian Church, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny it completely. He's not God come in the flesh for our sins and redeemed us. The Mormon Church, you wouldn't even believe what they I can, if you want more information, I'll send you stuff. But you know, they believe that God the Father, Elohim, came and literally came to earth and had sex with Mary, and then had spirit children among the kids, Lucifer, Jesus, some other ones. Jesus, then they had a council. Jesus wanted to save earth. Lucifer ejected. He wanted to be the savior, and then they fought, and then they, you know, anyway, then he went to America. It's just crazy. Of course, Father God came from the planet Kolob. That's a whole other story. They deny who Jesus is. The Jehovah's Witnesses, he's an angel. He's a created being. He's just like, he's literally Michael the Archangel, they think. He's a created being. Like Islam, Jesus is going to be an enforcer that comes back and kills Christians and Jews. It's the opposite. There's so many. I can't even tell you. We're going to have a guy here. If you're fading with me, come back to me. There's a guy, James Walker, that I brought in many years ago at another church I was pastoring at. And he's a cult watch group with watchmen.org. And his mom lives in Jacksonville. And I had him come in, and I'm going to have him come into our church. And I've been talking to him. And we're going to have a Sunday, Lord willing, a Sunday service and a Sunday night service. And he's going to teach about some of these things. You will learn more than most people on the planet. Even Mormons don't even know. He's a fourth generation Mormon. Okay, and now he goes out and he leads Mormons to Christ all over the country. Okay, and he's going to talk about, I think we'll have him do Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and, I don't know, New Age or Islam, but we're going to have him do some teachings. And so we'll be able to find out more information, but they all deny the deity of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say in verse, how long have I been teaching, Pastor Gary? Don't want to know. Okay. I'll floor it for the last few. Okay, verse 8, stay with me. Okay, verse 8, it says, watch out that you do not lose what you worked for. Uh-oh, what does that mean? But that you may be fully rewarded. Let me ask you a question. Some people are like, does that mean I'll lose my salvation? Did you work for your salvation? That's right. You didn't work for it. You received it as a free gift, right? Yeah, it's a gift that he's given you. So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about rewards. There are rewards that God's going to give out, and that's biblical. What you do with your time, what you do with your talents, so to speak. God has given you abilities, talents. They're different from your neighbor. You're not a clone. You've got different ways to help and serve him in the kingdom. You've got different gifts, right? But there is rewards. In fact, they were arguing in Corinthians and in the Corinthian church, and I'm of Apollos, oh, I'm of Jesus, oh, I'm of Paul. And yeah, he sent the letter to try to straighten him out. But he says, hey, he who plants and he who waters, speaking of those sowing the seeds of the word of God, are one, and each one will receive his own, what? Reward according to his own labor. That's right. You've been faithful for what God gave you. If he's giving you 2 talents, you make good use of it. If he's giving you 5 talents, you make good use of it. If he's giving you 1 talent like me, okay, I'm going to give it all I got with that 1 talent. I'm not going to bury it and not do anything with it. You use it for his kingdom. Because on judgment day, and I'm going to do it with the right heart, because the Bible also talks about, when it talks about rewards, that some of those rewards are going to be burnt up. In other words, the stuff that you did for show, right? The stuff that you did with really selfish motives, everybody thought, oh, you're such a good Christian. Oh, you were so serving there, but you were really doing it for yourself. That's just going to burn up. He says this in 1 Corinthians 3, 13 and 14, on judgment day, fire is going to reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if each person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. So anything that you do for the Lord with a pure heart, which God wants you to do, right? For him, right, is your main goal. That's going to survive. If you're doing it for yourself, you know what? You can look as fancy as you want. It's just going to burn. You have to do it for him. Does that make sense? And some of us, unfortunately, it says we'll be saved only by fire. In other words, you're only saved because of Jesus Christ. Most of what you did was really for yourself. Let that not be you. You be different. You choose to be different so that you could be rewarded fully in Jesus' name. And by the way, those rewards are biblical. Whoa, Pastor, what do we... Listen, it says in Revelation 22:12, and I love when I made this slide. I thought it was so beautiful. It says, look, this is the words of Jesus. I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have done. That's right. Verse 9 says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ doesn't have God. And so people sometimes, wow, I can't believe they fell away. And sometimes people do backslide. But you know what? You're going to find out whether they were really saved by whether they continue in Christ Jesus. Now, some of us have been our backsliders and we've come back to the Lord. But you'll see whatever happens in the long run, if they don't continue in Christ, that means they never were of us in the first place. Because that truth sets us free. It says, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And then it goes on to say, if anyone comes to you, this is a doozy. If anyone comes to you, this is verse 10, and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. So what is that saying? All these people, you know, these people, not J-dubs, knocking on your door, the Mormons. Listen, I personally, I don't invite them in my home. Now, I'm not rude. When it says welcome him, it's really talking about in back in those days, if they would say, hey, I'm a teacher, right? Can I teach at your church? Can I share with you? What they would do is a Christian would be obliged to show hospitality. And you'd invite them into your home. Why don't you sup with us? Have dinner with me and my family. Hey, why don't you come over to the church? Let's talk. You can share what you're learning and what you're... He's saying, you know what? If they don't bring these solid doctrines that are built on the Word of God, don't even welcome them in your home. Now, if a J-dub comes to my house or a Mormon, I've sat outside with a Mormon for an hour, but I'm telling them, I'm here, I want to share the gospel with you. I want to share Jesus Christ with you. That's my goal. And if I take any of their literature, I take it so I can throw it away and they have to print more. I don't let that stay for one. I don't even, to be honest, I don't even keep it in my house. I trash it and throw it outside. I want nothing to do with that. I know some people have welcomed in your house. I've talked to them and talked to them. That's not a good idea. It might sound harsh, but he's saying So powerful are some of these deceivers. Man, you just need to just say, you know what? No, I'm not going to let them infect my family. I'm not going to let them infect my friends. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming out. Now, I know folks, I've talked to J-Dubs, and they're like, well, thank you for doing it so nicely. And I just said, I love the Lord. I love the, you know, and I know what the word says. Sometimes I'll show them some scriptures and they'll be like, oh, I didn't know that one, you know. But most of the time, you know, so, but I'm usually nice about it. You know, wish you, you know, I don't say God bless you because I don't want them blessed. They're giving lies out to people. Do you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I can be polite and kind about it. And they're like, wow, you're really, thanks for at least being nice to us. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says show proper respect to everyone. And so I think what you're saying is completely wrong. But sure. And she's like, I've known people, they've like thrown stuff at us. They've screamed at us. They've slammed the door in our face, yelled at us. I'm not saying you should not welcome them like that. I don't think John would, he's called the apostle of, but he also knows enough to say, don't listen to these. Well, I just like this particular teacher. Half of what they say is great, and the other half is poison. Well, pastor, you need to be open-minded. Well, if I said, why don't you come over to my cupboard here and look, and I've got these pills. There's a whole bunch of them here. Some of them will help ease your pain, and some of them will be poison and will kill you. I want you to be open-minded. Which ones will you take? Just take them at random. You'd be like, pastor, I would never, that would be dumb. Why take the point? But that's what people, does it make sense? Do you hear what I'm saying? A little bit of that stuff's going to kill you. It says this in, it says this somewhere, Galatians. Did I write down where? I hope so. 1:8, yeah. Yes, thank you, Lord. But even if we, Paul said, or even an angel from heaven should preach another gospel other than the one we presented to you, let them be under God's curse. Do you ever watch The Matrix? How many watch The Matrix? Okay, I love The Matrix. I do. There was a time when he was offered a pill. You guys might remember those. I'll just talk to you guys. The red pill or the blue pill? Do you remember? Now, the red pill, I'm just telling you what it, to me, represented the truth, the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, you know what? I'm just letting you know, if you take the blue pill, you can continue living this fake life. This is not real, right? You won't even know the difference. You can keep going on. All I can promise if you take that red pill is the truth. And you remember when he took that red pill, it wasn't easier, but he did know the truth, didn't he? In so doing, so will God's word, so will the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't take the world's blue pills or all the other religions' blue pills. It says, oh, and also, don't give money to them just to get rid of them. Do you know what I'm saying? I just want to get rid of them, you know. Anyway, okay, and it says, lastly, anyone who, okay, verse 12 and 13. I have so much more to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. And this is, I guess, what I just want to close with. And I not this scripture. This was from last scripture. I forgot to show it, but she says, I want to talk to you face to face. There's something about just being here. Okay? It's not fancy. I get it. But there's something about talking to one another. There's something about when I can look in your eyeballs and I say, oh my gosh, she's getting it. Or, okay, I don't want to say anybody, I look in anybody's eyeball. Oh my goodness, she's not getting it. Do you know what I mean? There's something about when I can give a hug to somebody I care about. They're hurting. Or can I just tell you? Oh, I don't know if I could. Should I? Somebody told me this morning, it was just a 2-minute conversation. Something that I had done had really blessed this couple. And let me tell you, it was just literally a minute conversation. I was in tears. I was almost in tears. Didn't cry, but I had tears in my eyes. And I thought, oh my gosh, I was able to encourage and thank you. There's something about being able to look in your eyeballs and to give you a hug and to see you personally. And I get that we can watch online, and we're so thankful for all you folks watch online. I know a bunch of people do. Very thankful for you. But if you can, Paul's saying, you know what? I don't just want to do it by text, or we would say in our, or by email, right? Sometimes I've done that. I've texted people and I said, you know what? I should have called them more. I should have invited them over more. And you realize, oh, I messed up there. But he says, I want to see you face to face. There's something about that ironing, sharpening iron. When you get to know people, get involved in their lives. Hey, my son's coming to church. Hey, my this. Oh, hey, I'm going through this. That allows you to work and grow together and to become closer in the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now again, there are some people that actually cannot come in and they're watching online. And again, so grateful for you. But the goal is, Paul's saying, I just don't want to do it this way. I want you here, face to face, learning, growing with one another. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it should be the same way for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So next week we'll complete the third John, and then we might go into, I'm not sure, I might do a series on the old Holy Spirit. I might do a series on an Old Testament book. We might go into the Old Testament, maybe Hosea, maybe Ruth, not sure. Some people, I just got to pray about what God wants us to do next after we finish the postcard of 3 John next week. So just pray, if you would, that God would lead me, and may we be found faithful, people of the truth. Amen? Okay, Father God, thank you for each person that I'm able to see here face to face in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I look at them and I say blessings, blessings, blessings on their heart, Lord. Encourage them, help us together to walk in truth and in love, Lord. Help the people at home as well, Lord God, to do that same thing, that we would be people of the truth. The pillar and foundation of truth, getting your nourishment, your word, renewing our hearts and minds every day, Lord, that we can cry out, sit with you, and build that relationship so that we may be reminded of what you said to us when we really need it most, Lord, now more than ever. We're thankful for every single person in our body, Lord God. Lord, the ones here face to face and the ones that are watching at home. We pray for your blessing, Lord, that they would be people of the truth, Lord God. And if there's anybody who wants more truth, I pray that they would just text us and ask, and that we would give it to them in abundance, Lord. Blessings on your people, Lord God. Help them to have a good, safe 4th of July, Lord God. We love you and we're thankful for you. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people together said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.